Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome, everybody, to the Utah Football Fans Podcast. You only get two of us tonight, just Bryn and Gary. Unfortunately, James couldn't join us. He's got some family, personal stuff going on, you know.
How can we do it?
Busy life. So it's just the two of us, but we're excited to talk all things Utah football. A few just little housekeeping things before we start. We do want to thank our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics, and he is so gracious to offer this promo to listeners of the podcast. $500 off.
Man.
$500 off any comprehensive treatment from now until August 1st. So if you've been waiting to get your braces or your aligners, now is the time. Look him up at thomasortho.com. And if you mention the podcast, you also will be entered to win a $200 gift card to the Red Zone. So it's not just $500 off your treatment. You also get entered into this giveaway. So, awesome. Take care of that during the summer. ThomasOrtho.com.
Take advantage of that.
No kidding. Be sure to like and subscribe and share. And make sure you are following us on social media. We just did a really cool giveaway on our Facebook group to a couple of our members there. So if you're not following Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, make sure you are, because we're going to keep doing those giveaways on those channels. All right. I think before we jump in spring game, I do just want to unfortunately mention our director of football operations, Adam Fry. His little girl passed away over the weekend. I guess she was one. I don't know any more details of that, but just horrible. Absolutely horrible. Everybody's worst nightmare. So just love and prayers to his family and everyone who's dealing with that, because, God.
Yeah, love and condolences. Just terrible.
You never want to see stuff like that. So, all right. Well, spring game.
Let me just add one thing to what you said, though. Continue to give your comments. Interact with us. We like it. We like to hear pros and cons. It's excellent. So keep them coming.
We do want to see your comments.
All right, spring game. What do you think? I mean, your impression or just spring games?
For some reason, this year's spring game felt to me, and maybe I'm just way off, it felt like less players were playing that I know of. Is that, maybe that's always the case? I mean, you always know, like, you'll get your starters maybe in for a couple plays and then they're going to sit the rest of the time. But I don't know, this year felt like it was just freshmen and sophomores playing.
It was. And then a spattering of
returner, yeah.
Some guys that will be playing in the fall, but they played at some series and then came out. But it was primarily freshmen, sophomores, guys trying to make the team. assessing people like that. So you're absolutely right. I don't know if you saw the, I mean, every year it's like that. There's some guys that don't need to play and you don't need injuries and whatever. But this year, if you go down the list.
I did see that. The list of everyone who didn't play.
Who didn't play, guys who will be coming in and just stuff like that. It's so, yeah, we didn't see who's going to be on the field in the fall. No. Other than, you know, of course, Jackson played and Bernard played, Glover played. Couple guys in the secondary. You know, there were those guys, but they didn't play the whole game.
Well, in defense-wise, I felt like I didn't recognize any of the guys playing.
So it is what it is. It's to assess. But for me, the most important position I was keeping my eye on was the quarterback situation.
Of course.
Barnes, is he going to be number two? We don't know. So he played a series. If I recall right, so Barnes played a series, was out. He ran for a touchdown. Well, I don't, you know, personally, I don't, that doesn't impress me. I want to see if our quarterbacks can throw. Now, you know, everyone knows what Barnes can do.
Right.
Okay, so is he number two? I don't know. But so it was basically Rose and Johnson. And so my assessment is Rose outplayed Johnson. He, again, looking at the competition, but you have to, you know, you have to judge it by how he looks, what he did. I mean, he threw touchdown. I think he had 200-something yards. It really doesn't matter, but he made some throws. He looked good. He looked the part. He had a better game in my eyes as I watched it.
It's interesting because I think even our last episode a month ago, when we were talking about QB and who's going to be number two, I think we all were in agreement that it was going to be Johnson. Based on, I think, just some stuff we'd heard, and we kind of saw a glimpse of Johnson last year, I think we were all like, oh, it's going to be Johnson, there's no question. And then over the last month, in camp and the game, it seems like Rose has really risen to possibly that number two spot.
Two or three, who knows? I don't know how that'll play out.
I don't know. Johnson, his strength is his legs. And we saw a little bit of that in the spring game on Saturday. He can run and he's really fast. And
yeah, but we don't want a running quarterback. We want a throwing quarterback.
Right. That's the thing, is like that's such his strength, but as a quarterback, especially coming up against the dudes that we're going to be playing against in the Pac-12, the other QBs, we need someone who can really throw. And I feel like we saw that with Rose. I don't know that we saw. I mean, it's spring game, so what?
Spring game. So here's my rule. I'll just give you my rule.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what we call it, but it's the Charlie Brewer rule.
Oh.
To myself. If we all recall, what, 3 years, 4 years ago? I don't even remember what it is now. When Brewer played the spring game, his first spring game for Utah. He was like 15 for 15.
You were so hyped.
100-something yards, and he's slinging it all over the place. And when the game's over, it was so easy to jump into the hype that, oh, man, we're going to light it up. He is going to be so freaking good. No one will be able to stop us the entire time. And the guy was garbage.
Oh, God.
And so, okay. To me, pump the brakes. I enjoyed going to the game and assessing what I saw. Now, you tell me this, though. Years ago, you could go to a spring game, and our offense couldn't even move the ball in spring ball.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's true.
Be like 14-7.
That's true.
I do remember these things.
That's true.
We've come a long ways. These guys did move the ball. Other than some mistakes and whatever, which is always, it's a good sign, but, you know, it is what it is. It was fun to be there, but we're going to see a whole different team, and we'll see out of, you know, after the fall camp and everything, where it all lands.
Well, yeah, there's still so much unknown. I think you and I were talking about it at the spring game, is obviously the big question mark is Cam. I mean, that's question mark number one. Question mark number two is going to be who's then in the number two spot. And with Cam, so much of the big plays he makes are with his legs. We've seen that over the last couple years. And I
am critical plays.
Very critical plays, very critical games. And that's what's pushed us over the edge, that USC game last year, the first one. Mm. Oh, the joy of that memory. So if Cam, with the nature of his injury and ACL, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. He probably shouldn't make those big running plays as much as he is used to. So I don't know. There's a lot of question marks. I hope we can just get a really dynamic QB in that number two spot, because that person is going to play. We might even have to dip into a number three guy. I don't know. Let's hope not, but I don't know.
I mean, August 31 is going to come pretty quick.
Oh, it's going to come really fast.
And if Rising isn't ready to go, we got to have a guy that can play.
I will say Jackson looked awesome on Saturday.
For the limited plays.
Yeah, I mean,
you could just tell.
You could tell. He's gotten better, and it's interesting. I had this just little inkling of a thought. I'm like, what if they just move Nate Johnson over to running back? We don't need any more running backs. But he has.
And Curry will be coming back.
Yeah, Curry didn't play. Bernard, we kind of saw on Saturday, but not. And Glover, we sort of saw a little bit. I don't know. I just feel like we didn't see that much of anyone.
No, it just, we didn't. I mean, there's some spots, but it's really the quarterback situation.
Defensive-wise, like we said, every guy who made plays, they were all freshmen. Freshmen, which is great.
I think it was, am I right? Was it Battle, the transfer, who picked it off for a touchdown, or am I thinking a different guy?
No, I can't remember.
Anyway, that was toward the end.
Right.
Anyway, that's the game. That's how I see it.
I will say this, Utah fans. I was disappointed with the crowd. I don't know what it is. I mean, and yeah, I'm jealous of some of these other spring games you see around the country where they're getting.
You want to talk about that?
They're getting 20 to 30,000 fans.
20 like, to 30? You want me to?
Well, yeah, there's more. There's some stadiums that get more.
Okay. How many did we have? I saw the number. Do you know how many?
No, I actually don't know. I didn't see it.
What I saw, almost 10,000 people.
Okay. And everyone tickets sold or whatever, right?
Everyone pushes their numbers up. But when we were sitting there, we looked around and thought, I bet we got 10,000 tops. 10,000, okay? So, yeah, I did look at a couple of things. Utah fans, let's look at a couple of things. I should have had it. Where is it?
I mean, it wasn't raining. It was cloudy. It was cold, but the weather was good. Good football weather, so you can't use that as an excuse.
That's not it. Where is it?
I don't know.
No, it's okay. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. We had 10,000.
Okay.
Florida State had 33,000 to their spring game. USC had 33,000. I don't believe that for a second. I saw a photograph of their freaking stadium. Freaking guys.
Liars.
Liars. Liars. But Colorado.
Well, okay.
The hype train keeps rolling down the track at 47,000 people. They've freaking sold it out.
I do believe that number because those pictures.
Oh, I've seen looking at the picture right here.
Her stadium was packed.
I mean, when you've been garbage for so long and Mr. Hype come, Coach Hype.
But really, Colorado? You're that hype?
47,000.
Jeez.
Clemson, 50,000 came out to their spring game. South Carolina, 51,000 came to their spring game. Georgia, 54,000 came to their spring game. Oklahoma, 54,000 came to their spring game. Tennessee, 58,000. 58,000 to Alabama. Nebraska, 66,000. Penn State, 68,000. We're talking their spring game.
Jeez.
Ohio State, 75,000. So, what does that say, Utah? I mean, I don't. How do I want to interpret that? We had 10. It was cold. So what? These other places weren't hot.
No. Yeah.
It was snowing in Colorado.
Yeah.
They're kind of a unique thing. We had 10,000. between 75, you could look here, probably an average 75 to 50,000 to their spring games. It does show something. I don't know what I want. How do I want to interpret it? But we have to look inward. I mean, at game time, we show up at the stadium, but our enthusiasm is not like this. We're at a different level.
No, I think it's lack of enthusiasm, lack of, I hate to say it, Utah fans, lack of dedication, possibly.
Someone would like to give us a comment as to what the excuse is.
Right.
We get 10, they get 50 to 75,000. How do you justify that?
Now, I don't know if these other ones, I'm guessing they charge. We do charge for our spring game. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know. Like,
No, it's not going to bump the numbers that much. But I will say, like, for a family, like, I've got five in my family. Do I want to spend $100 to go over there for the day? Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. And granted, the money is going to the 22 Forever Foundation or whatever, the scholarship. But what is it, Utah fans? I really want to know this because we were sitting there just going, this is kind of pathetic.
It was pathetic.
It's kind of pathetic. Like,
we just had back-to-back Rose Bowl appearances. Mm-hmm. We've got a top program, as we'll talk about.
The banners looked beautiful.
New banners are up.
Bryce Eccles.
Yet we, I'm not talking about getting 50,000, but 10 was pretty, was pretty weak. But here's the other thing, and I'm just going to throw it out. So I'd love to hear comments about all of this. I've talked to writers who write for about Utah sports, and the interest in Utah sport, particularly football, as far as viewers and people who interact with them, is not as great as they know it happens at other schools.
Yeah.
And just in our little world of Utah football fans podcast,
yep.
When we play the bigger name schools, we get more people interacting with us and looking at our podcast from those schools than we do from Utah.
It's true.
And I've talked to others who have the same experience, and like I mentioned, the writers. Anyway, there's an issue there. We are not in the upper level of these other fan bases as to our enthusiasm. We may think we are. And on game day, I'm not discounting some of the games and stuff.
Right. No.
But we're not to this fanatic level that these schools are. Which we got a ways to go.
It's interesting because I feel like Utah, we travel really well.
Yeah, we do.
When we go to away games, like look at the Florida game last year. Look how many fans went to that game. So you would think we'd be on the same excitement level as some of these other schools. But like you're saying, we've, over the last couple of years, in our experience with the podcast, like the excitement's not coming from Utah fans. We get excitement and interaction from fans of the opponent that we're playing way more than Utah fans. So I don't know where that disconnect is. Utah fans, where are you? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. It's real.
It's interesting. I feel like it's something we need to be better
at. Come
on. We got to, because look, we don't have an NFL team. You don't have that to compete with you. I mean,
there's not really another legitimate college team around.
We're the best college team in the state. I get that you have youth stuff to compete against, but come on. Like, it is strange. It's strange.
It's strange to me. Okay, we don't want to be critical, but those are the numbers. That's reality. That's our experience, and it's interesting.
We do want to shout out. We got to meet Donna Stearns, so that's Aaron Lowe's mom. We got to meet her at the spring game. Angie Matinka, thank you for introducing us to her. Shout out to Angie. We got to meet a few of the gymnasts, which, shout out to the Utah gymnastics team, third in the country.
Impressive.
I don't know how you do that. It's so nerve-wracking to me when I'm sitting there watching them do that stuff. I don't know how they do it.
I know I met them. Was it three or four of them over there? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, how do you do what you do?
You know what,
how do you stand on that beam?
I don't know how they do that.
But tumble like that.
But when I'm standing next to them, I feel...
I can't even walk over.
The camaraderie because they're all my same height. I missed my calling
in life.
That's
true. They're all like this tall.
I'm like, we're like on the same level. And then, speaking of height difference, tall guy, Stanton.
Dude, what is he, 7'10"?
You are very tall. Yeah, I'm not on the same height level as you are. Gary's not even on the same height level as you are. It was fun to see. I mean, there was a few tailgaters out. Not a lot of tailgaters. I don't know. The spring game, I feel like years past, we used to get more fans there. So I don't really know what's going on, but.
All right, enough of that.
Enough of that. Moving on.
It'll be interesting. I'm interested to see what some people say.
I know. I want to
know. I think Oregon's game is upcoming this weekend.
Okay.
I wonder what they get.
They probably get a lot.
I just think, you know, maybe we're just taking for granted where our program is, as if it's going to be like this.
No.
I don't know. That could be wrong, too.
Do we want to talk about Colorado? They had their spring game. All the hype over the quarterback because, oh my gosh, he threw a ball. Guess what? That's what you're supposed to see in a spring football game. You're supposed to see a guy throw it all the way down the field because there's no pressure and there's no defenses who are actually trying to go for the ball. So everyone's freaking out. And then they've had like, what, 15 dudes transfer?
They've had a lot of guys. The guy who's caught for 155 yards in that game.
Yeah.
The next day, within 24 hours, he went out. He left.
Which, hey, well, come on over. We need some receivers.
I mean, but you know, you got to ask yourself, what kind of character are you to leave? So do you really want that guy in our culture?
Well, I look at it as, what is going on over there? Because we see all the hype. Everyone's freaking out over Colorado, but when you're having all these guys leave, I don't know.
It's an up-tempo offense.
Yeah, so
I heard what was the number. I think what did they do? Like run a play every, I mean, it was some unbelievable, like every 7-8 seconds, they like ran an offensive play. It's just this rush play stuff. That's the new offense that's going to be coming out of Colorado.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all translates, but everyone's just.
I don't
just
know. I think it's all.
The hype train.
It's hype.
The hype train.
Okay. Where are we at? What's next?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Let's go with the Crimson Collective. What do you know?
Crimson Collective.
Have you heard the Crimson Collective?
Yeah, so last week, I think it was Friday, right before the spring game, they announced our official NIL collective. This is now the official one, Crimson Collective, because there was a couple that had been started, I think, last year, but this one is in partnership or however you want to say it with athletics and Utah football. It's backed by Garf Matt. Is it Matt Garf?
Matt Garf.
Charlie Monfort, who's the owner of the Rockies. He's one of the big names here. So this one seems like it has very strong financial backing. A lot of former players are like on the board of directors. So this one is more the official collective now. The thing I did find interesting, I mean, Witt basically said, like, we're late to the party with this. We're a little late in putting this together. We lost recruits last year. He said 6 to 8 recruits we probably lost because
I didn't see that.
Yeah, because we didn't have this stuff put together, which is interesting.
So you're right. It's a 501c3 nonprofit in partnership with the university. Apparently, there's been some collective out there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's all donations.
Right.
It's all money from donors. All of us can donate to it if we want to. Every little bit helps. I think my understanding is, I don't know, was it like $3 or $4 million has kind of been the average that's been paid out or something like that? That's kind of where we're aiming.
Hmm.
But our ultimate goal is $50 million.
Jeez.
Because they're saying if we can get to that level, then we will be one of the top schools as far as giving the opportunities for money and getting recruits to Utah. See, that was the part all of the little particulars, I'm not up on all of it. I don't know how the money gets to the players. I know they have to, they're trying to make connections with local businesses and local whatever, right. And I know that there's a lot of, well, I think obligation to the players to do charity work within the community and do good for their money beyond just playing football. Okay. I don't know how all that plays out,
right.
But that's a part of it.
Right.
Bottom line is, though, it's there to get players paid. So if you come to Utah, you get paid, but it sets you up for the future as well. But to me, that what I like about it, and they're very open about it, and this is what Whittingham said, I believe it was Coach Witt. He goes, the landscape, there's going to be a major realignment in the future. I think he said near future. It's not, that's not any news. I don't think he's breaking news. I think we all know things are coming.
Yeah.
But he says, we don't want to be left out.
Yeah.
And this is one of the main things. If we can get big money and get players in here, then it puts us right up at the of the upper echelon of other schools. And that's important to me because I've always wondered what we were thinking, what we were doing as a school. But no, they're now being aggressive, it seems to me.
Yeah, that, we don't want to get left behind.
And by doing this, makes me excited because we're trying to compete with the big schools, and this is what needs to be done. And we've jumped into it fully going for it so that we can be among the big schools. We want to compete. We've made all this progress. So versus, oh, we'll just kind of see what happens and won't be aggressive. No, they're going after it. And I think it's exciting. As a fan, I'm freaking happy about it.
The thing that I struggle with, and this isn't just the Crimson Collective. I mean, this is the whole system now that's in place. Like, as an average fan who does not have, I don't have all this expendable income. I mean, I just don't. Unfortunately, not at this time in my life. I don't have just all this extra money to be giving. Where is going to do the most good? Do you know what I mean? Because Crimson Club, I guess I pay that fee with my tickets, so I guess that's taken care of. So if I want money to go directly to the Utah football players, this is where I put it. But I think it's hard because now there's like multiple places within athletics that need your money.
Well, the gymnastics have a collective.
They do. And I think basketball has their own also.
And this is for football.
This is just
so,
football.
Hey, I may just, you know, if I feel like, what about Jesse? He should go work for these guys. He's an expert.
There you go. You want to recruit my husband? He'll fundraise for you. No, I guess what I'm just saying is, obviously the athletics department needs money also. They're going to build a whole baseball stadium. They've got tons of things that they need donations for also. So now, does this kind of stuff pull the donations from what goes to athletics? I'm sure it's going to. I don't know how I don't know how they're all going to, and that's not my job to figure out.
I don't.
But I guess as a fan, it actually is nice because you can put your money towards where your passion is versus just giving it to athletics and then having them do whatever with it.
Yeah, but I won't. Yeah. I want football. I want football to succeed. And I want, there's going to be some big donors.
Well, there already are.
Yeah, there's some big money. And the fact that they're aiming for 50 mil.
I mean, I was looking at it today.
That's sweet.
I was looking at the players that are involved. I mean, you've got Eric Weddle. You've got Alex Smith.
Uh-huh.
You've got Covey's on there. You've got Terrell Burgess. You've got Matt Asiata. Who else was on there? Star Lotulelei. Like, these dudes that have played in the NFL, like, it was a big, long list of all of these guys. Robert Johnson's on there. I know, I mean, I'm missing a bunch of them, but they're going to go out there and try and raise money, too.
So here's what Witt said. There's 2 points I'll make from it, see what you think. But first of all, he said, recruiting is the most important thing to succeeding in college football over anything else. Recruiting. He says that every year.
Yeah.
He's consistent. Hands down, it's the most important thing we do every day. Every single day, we're recruiting in one form or the other. And then he said, the biggest way to gain an advantage in recruiting is NIL resources, without a doubt. It's the number one thing that moves the needle that allows you to obtain a roster, recruit the guys into your program. We may hate it. We may not like that it happened, but it's here. Witt, Harland, the school, Randall Taylor, Mr. Business, I'm sure he understands
Taylor
it.
Randall.
Oh, Taylor Randall. Who comes up with 2 first names? They always mess me up.
That can be either.
It's either Randall, Taylor. Be that as it may, the recruiting and the reality is that money now is a big factor in the recruiting, but we are going for it. The other thing I like about, and it's off the NIL, as I've always liked, you tell me what you think too, is that Witt always says that recruiting's the number one thing, which means you have to have the guys on the field. You have to have the talent. It's the talent that wins games. Coaches only go so far.
True.
And yeah, they're a big factor. However, example, if you took Saban out of Alabama and stuck him at Logan.
Utah State?
Do you think they're going to win the national championship?
No.
That's an extreme example, but that's the point.
Right.
Is that you need talent. And what I like about it is that Witt is honest, that he acknowledges that. That, I mean, it seems kind of simple, but sometimes we may overlook and just think the coaches are everything. But if you got guys that can't execute and aren't big and aren't fast and aren't talented and smart and all that stuff, it isn't going to matter. I like the fact that he recognizes that. Not discounting how important they are, but it is the players on the field that win the games.
Well, and we talked about this, I think, last month in our episode that Utah, we're at an impasse here where we've been in the Pac-12 long enough. We've hit that ceiling of the Pac-12, back-to-back championships. And we want that next level. We want to win the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
We want to win a playoff. We want to get to that next level. We're not going to get there without the talent, like you're saying. We're not going to get there if we can't compete with the same talent level as these other teams. So...
yeah, if we don't go and...
we're just going to stay stagnant if we don't make changes. We'll go down.
It'll go down. Here's the quote from Whittingham. And I mentioned this a moment ago, but he said, there's also going to be, in my estimation, some major realignment in the not-too-distant future. And we want to make sure we're on the right side of that line in the sand when we draw that line. And having a strong NIL is going to be a huge component in factoring in that. That's reality. And I like the fact that Utah is proactive and want to be a top program in the country as we've made all these strides to get where we are at.
Yeah.
We're in the fight. I love it.
Keep it going.
I love it. Okay. Did you know some rule changes were coming? You know what they are? What do you think?
Okay, so they changed that in college now, the clock will not stop when you hit a first down, except for the final 2 minutes of the half, both halves.
Both halves.
So it's basically NFL. It's the same as NFL.
That'll mean fewer plays.
I don't know. I think at first I was like, oh, I don't like that. But I guess I don't care that much. I'm glad that it is still where within those final 2 minutes, it'll stop on first down. Because, I don't know, game management is so...
I don't like it.
You don't like the change?
Even the 2 minutes. I like the change.
You like the change?
I like the change.
Okay.
I like the NFL. It helps passing teams a lot.
Okay, well, that doesn't help us.
Now, maybe if we were pass happy, I'd be thinking differently. But because you throw it, stop it. They can come run up, set up, run.
Yeah.
The clock just keeps rolling. It just doesn't, it's not.
So you're going to have to pass more. You have to pass more.
Well, no, you won't have as much time to get things done that you will in the past. I mean, that's what it's going to be, where you think of games, but of course we're talking about the last 2 minutes, so it will stop.
Right.
You know, I like it. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought it was kind of stupid, at least throughout the game, that every time you get a first down, you stop the clock. Hmm. That's dumb. So I'm okay with it.
I mean, they say the
reason... what do you think?
They say the reason they're doing it is to make games go faster. Is it really going to make
that big a difference? Like seven plays, I heard, or something stupid.
It's not going to make that big a difference. The only thing that's going to make games go faster is less TV timeouts, which means less commercials, which means less advertising.
Less stupid calls by the refs.
Which means less money. So that's never going to happen because these networks are not going to cut those. So, but that's what's actually going to make the game shorter is when you cut down that stuff. Like sometimes we're watching those games and my gosh, they take a TV timeout like every 2 minutes. Anyways, so yeah, that's not going to make that big a difference, but it's going to be an adjustment for sure to watch college and not have that in your mind that if you get the first down, you have a little bit of time
to
reset.
It. I'm good with it. I like the NFL. So the other rule, did you know the other rule? I don't know if it's passed, but I think it is going to pass. But it's you can't take back-to-back or consecutive timeouts.
Mm-hmm. I think it was part of this vote. So I think
is that what it was?
Passed. Yeah.
So, which was usually used to, you know, to ice the kicker, call a timeout, and then call it again if you had the timeouts.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Can't do that anymore. Now, I personally, if I was, you know, Lord of the Rules,
ooh,
I would disallow a timeout just to ice a kicker.
Yeah,
I don't like it. Going both ways.
It's
stupid to me. It's not. I just don't like it. I feel like if you need a timeout, you take it, but you don't wait. The coach is over there.
Yeah.
Okay, boom.
Just to mess with the poor kicker's head.
I don't like it.
We saw our kicker a couple times.
Yeah. He flubbed. He dubbed a 46-yarder. Went in, but he didn't.
Did go in.
He didn't get all of it, but he made it.
This is the transfer from Colorado. Becker? Guys, I don't know all their names yet. I'm sorry. Someone's going to yell at me in the comments. I don't have it memorized yet. I think that's his name. He did kick a couple field goals. God, we need a kicker so bad. So I hopefully he can work on it during the off season.
All right. Let me ask you this. Here's some questions I want to, or your thoughts on some conclusions by people. You know, it's that time of year, but. From College Sports Corner, which used to be Real NCAA Talk, is what they're
okay.
Is who it is. But they put together a thing that said the direction every program is heading in. Okay. So, what direction is your program going? They put Georgia as a dynasty. Ooh. The only one, which I think's. Okay, yeah, back to back. But
2 years in a row, a dynasty?
No.
I wouldn't think
so. A few years ago, they weren't that great.
Right.
So I
feel like you have to win more than that to be a dynasty, but okay.
And then they said title competitors, LSU. Alabama, yes. Ohio State, yes. Michigan. And then SC. Are you freaking kidding me?
Of course. Not surprised.
USC, what happened?
So on the rise, you know, Washington, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Texas.
Oh, is that
Florida
just...
State, Duke, TCU, Texas Tech.
Duke? Duke?
Oregon State, I would agree.
Okay, yes.
Stagnant. They have Oregon stagnant. Now, Oregon fans, do you think your program is stagnant?
Interesting. No.
Utah, stagnant. That's ridiculous.
How do you call a program that just won back-to-back championships stagnant?
Because I guess when you win your
Cause we lost,
back-to-back championships and you lose in the Rose Bowl, I guess somehow you're stagnant. No, to me, we're progressing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's...
Who else is stagnant?
Clemson, according to these guys. Because they had a couple bad years, I don't know. Pitt. But here's the other. Declining. Florida. Hey, Brendan.
Oh, well,
Florida fans, do you know these losers are saying your program's declining?
Well.
Purdue, Notre Dame.
Okay.
Oklahoma, yeah, they had a bad year, but
interesting.
I guarantee Oklahoma's going to be better.
Yeah.
I don't
really agree with this list.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't agree with any of those, I don't think. Maybe a few.
Okay, so Josh Pate, do you know who he is?
Yes.
He's a pundit. Well, he's followed, well followed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Josh Pate's top 10 college football programs moving forward.
Okay.
This is a big statement.
Okay.
Georgia number one.
Okay.
God.
You know.
Alabama.
Of course.
Michigan.
Okay.
Guess who would be next? Oregon. Or not Oregon. Oregon. That's a Freudian slip. Ohio State. Those are the top four. Clemson at five. See, Notre Dame at six. So when you read those guys prior to that said they're declining. These guys said the top
programs.
They're in
programs, the top 10 top moving 10. Forward, like top programs.
Penn State, seven. Hey, I would.
Oh, I'd put that there.
I agree with that.
I do agree with that.
After, of course, they kicked our butt.
They have the potential. Program, yeah. They have the potential to be very good this year, Penn State.
They're going
to
be good. Number eight, Utah. Josh Pate. Top 10 college football programs moving forward. Utah, number eight. Oh, and guess who's number nine? Who's behind us going forward?
The crybabies?
See ya. What happened?
Oh, the crybabies. I love it. See, I can get behind this list. That other
Josh
list is
Pate
garbage.
Is my man. I like Josh. He's a Utah guy.
He actually knows what
he's talking
like
about.
He
actually does like us. He knows what he's talking about. And when you start putting a collective together for aiming for 50 mil, hey, yeah. Utah fans, we got to get more than 10,000 people to a spring game.
See, anybody who paid attention last year, you know that Utah should be above USC in these lists. You can go back as much as you want and say, oh, if Caleb had been hurt, oh my gosh, they would have won. You don't know anything. We beat you twice, and then you lost to Tulane. So, of course,
scoreboard.
You should be behind Utah moving forward.
And number 10 is Oklahoma. See, like in that other list.
No. That other list is garbage.
That was
throw
garbage.
It out. They don't know what they're
delete
talking about.
Delete it. This one's.
But
hey.
You know, I'm already tired of hearing about Georgia. Georgia people, I just.
Hey, they're winning, though.
I know.
And Alabama, I must say, however, I'm not sure if I'm all. This is no disrespect, but Michigan, I don't know. I don't trust them staying at the top of this. Is heap for
yeah, but long. they've beat Ohio State twice.
Yeah, well,
made the playoffs. I mean, lost in the playoffs, but they're right there too. They need to get over that hump too.
So that's an interesting one. Let's see. This one is from College Football Report. You know, I can't say how. Who even writes or makes these things, but it's College Football Report. Look it up. Their ranking on teams based on probability to make the playoff this year. So,
okay.
Guess who you think's number one? Georgia. I mean, you got to say it.
Half
the team's going to the NFL.
If I'm going to bet on a team making the playoffs, I'm going to bet Georgia.
Okay, so you got Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Ohio State, man, 3, which I get. Now, this is going to make you vomit just a little bit in your mouth. Probability is SC at number 4.
They got to get through Utah.
Florida State at 5.
Really?
But Utah at 6. According to these guys. Huh. Again, national recognition because of results. Then it's LSU. So wrap your mind around this. Alabama is 8, according to these guys, of probability of making the college football playoff this year. Utah, they have it number 6 at probability of making the playoff. Clemson at 9, Washington at 11, Oregon at 12, Oregon State at 18.
How? I'm very confused by that. How are we above in their little list above Alabama there?
I don't know. They're
what they're using to calculate that?
The difficulty for SC, or it's playing SEC teams and coming out of there.
Yeah.
And then you got the Big Ten teams coming out of there. There's so much talent. You can't take all the playoff teams.
Yeah, but they had Ohio State and Michigan.
But that's what I'm saying.
As 2 and 3, and they're both in the same conference. Interesting. But yeah. Then us and
but anyway, SC. I think these guys are very smart.
Yeah.
Other than the SC crap.
Yeah, put USC behind Utah, please. People. It's just facts. Facts.
We've done that one. We're not going to do that one. Okay, this kind of goes along with the other one. I don't have listed who put this list together.
We're just pulling it out of Twitter, the Twitter sphere.
I don't know who this. You could find it. The title is Ranking Teams Based on Chances to Make First Playoff. So not
okay. You know, so not the teams, Georgia, not the Michigan,
not those who've been in the playoff since it began.
Right.
This is, would be the ranking the teams have the chance to make their first playoff.
Okay.
Number one, USC. That is just sickening. But, I mean, I get it.
Just get used to it. I mean.
Number two, Utah.
Wow.
Texas, Penn State.
Oh.
North Carolina, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Oregon State, they have at 8.
Really? Wow.
Is that right? Freaking heck.
Here's the thing. As Utah fans, we just have to realize that over the next few months, all the hype is going to be about USC. All the lists are going to be about USC. Everything's going to be about USC. We all know it's coming. We all should expect it. It'll make you vomit, but just expect it, because that's what's going to happen. Because even though they lost last year, everybody's going to be talking about them. I do like, I don't know if you, on Barstool, they've got their Unnecessary Roughness podcast.
Yeah.
And they did a list of the top 10 coaches for this upcoming season. And I do like Brandon Walker had Whittingham at number 5. He had him above Ryan Day. He had him above Lincoln Riley, the little crybaby.
Hey, Lincoln.
You, I see ya. What happened?
And his. Thank you.
That's for you, Lincoln.
Thank you for that. No, his reasoning was exactly what we've talked about here, is that Whittingham does more with, quote unquote, less.
I don't believe that as much anymore.
You don't? Oh, I still think that's true.
Well, compared to some to these schools.
Yeah.
But Utah has a lot more. They have a lot of talent. Just don't have the numbers of talent that in some of these big schools.
Right. And but he also was talking about consistency. I mean, all the things we've talked about before. But I loved seeing that because.
He is.
He does. He is a much better coach. I'll say it again. I've said it before. I will keep saying it again.
Okay, this is from ESPN. I think we've all heard of ESPN.
Sort of.
So ranking, their ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks coming into 2023. Okay. Feel free to mock and ridicule all you want. Or rant. Okay. Number one, Caleb Williams.
Mr. Blue Steel.
Do you agree?
That he's the best quarterback coming into the season?
He is. I would have to say yes. I'm just saying, though, Mr. Celebrity, if his head gets messed up with all of the money he's making and all the celebrity, he's got to reel that in.
That's what I've said. I said that on our last episode, that I think all the other stuff's going to... I think he, quote-unquote, is the best quarterback. I don't know if he's going to show it, because I think he's going to get clouded with all the other crap that's going on in his giant ego.
And I'm saying right here that unless Caleb Williams... Now listen to me.
Oh, God.
unless Caleb Williams can learn to be a pocket passer, in other words, be a quarterback first who's an athlete and not an athlete who plays quarterback.
Okay.
He's going to be a flop in the NFL. Someone's going to waste some money on him because he's going to be the second coming of Kyler Murray. He's going to be Baker Mayfield. All these running guys. Not meaning he won't make the league.
Yeah.
And he won't make some money and have some success, but long term and a franchise guy. If you can't throw in the NFL, you're not going to make it. And he's great college quarterback, but it doesn't translate. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you.
If you really want to laugh.
You can mock me.
If you really want to laugh, go look at our Utah football fans' Twitter page from last week. There was like this meme going around where it was like, trigger a college football fan base in one sentence or something like that. So we posted and just said, Caleb Williams is overrated. And to see USC fans, you walked right into it. They're like, oh my gosh.
It's like a bear trap. You got nailed.
He's so much better than everybody else. It's like, okay, you walked right into that trap. It's funny. Go look at it.
Anyway, so, but honestly, I agree with it. He's a talent. So, yeah, I would say he's the number one college QB.
Head on straight.
Number two, this is all according to ESPN.
Okay.
Penix, Washington.
Really?
This year. Wow. That's what they're projecting. Number three, Drake May from North Carolina.
Okay.
Number four, Bo Nix, Oregon Ducks.
Wow.
That dude's an all-purpose guy. He's good. I think he'll have a great year, actually, if he stays healthy. Anyway, he's number four.
Top
so think about
four?
Top four, three are out of the Pac-12. That's what we're up against this year. We play all those right there.
We play all those teams. We play
number five, Jordan Travis, Florida State. We've got number six, Cam Rising.
Wow.
ESPN has projected, anyway, and this, of course, all depends on how his leg heals up, but they have him number six quarterback coming back this year.
Please, 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 please.
Not bad.
Oh, I'd love to
see
it.
So out of the top six, how many is that? Four of them.
Four. Four out of six are Pac-12.
Then you got Sam Hartman at Notre Dame, McCarthy at Michigan. Number nine is Jaden Daniels, who was ANSU, until he transferred.
Interesting. He had a decent year.
Jalen Daniels at Kansas is number 10. So there you go. That's what they say.
Oh, God. It's going to be a wild season.
But, yeah, we'll get more into the schedule. And what do we got here? Is this anything important? No. Okay, that's where we're at. Some time off now to get energized. Who's going to win the NHL playoffs, by the way?
Yeah, hockey playoffs. Hello? Who? I got to give my prediction right now. Who I think's going to win?
Oh. We're going to go. New Jersey Devils are going to be playing the Edmonton Oilers in the final. How about that?
The Oilers? They're getting their butts kicked. Actually, no, they came back.
They won. It's 2-2.
Yeah, they did. They came back the other day. You are just wishful thinking. He's a Devils fan, so he is just... Of course, the Devils have now tied it, too.
Yeah, they were down two, now they're back.
As of the day we're recording this.
I'm just saying.
Colorado won last year, okay.
If I'm going to pick a team, it's Boston. They're
Boston,
a machine.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing. Most of the series right now are really close, but the Boston series, they're just taking it away.
They're just, you know, they don't have all their guys even in the lineup, and they're still a machine and rolling. So, but hey,
Boston.
I'm at this point, first round, still wishful.
Go Knights.
Edmonton Devils. I hate the Kings. You got to take them out. And I hate the Rangers. Got to take them out. It's like you got the East Coast, West Coast garbage teams. The Kings and the Rangers.
It's true. I mean, I can't argue with you.
All right, there we go. Any final thoughts of wisdom?
No, just Share us your thoughts. We want to hear what you think. And
Ute fans,
follow us on social if you want to get involved in some of our giveaways, things like that. And man, the season is coming.
We're going to have a good team.
Yeah.
We have a great culture. Our defense, from all appearances, is going to be solid. Our running back room is solid. Mm-hmm. We just get Cam back, and our O-line is supposed to be real solid with plenty of depth, and that's going to matter. So, great things to come.
Well, the draft is this week, right? NFL draft. Mm-hmm. So, good luck to see Phillips get drafted, Kincaid.
I saw one where Kincaid would be the top 10 pick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's going to be interesting, too. So,
we'll see. All right.
Go Utes.
Go Utes. Devils
in the finals, you wish.
Devils and Oilers. Go Utes.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.